Good evening. I would like to call to order the Monroe City Council regular business meeting of Tuesday, January 7th, 2014. I will now ask City Clerk Smoot to call the roll.
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Camp, Gamble, and Gearing.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to ask everybody to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And before we begin with the agenda, I'd like Council to take a look at the agenda. There was a request to move the student representative report to just before Council orientation.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Sounds good.
We actually don't need a vote.
I didn't think we did.
You're right. Anyway, I support it. Yeah,
okay.
Good enough.
So we'll go ahead and we'll make that adjustment. The first item of business that we have for this evening is the swearing-in ceremony of the newly elected and re-elected officials. The Honorable Judge Lyon will now administer the oaths of office for these officials. Judge Lyon, if you please.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And I will faithfully and impartially perform.
And discharge the duties.
Of the office.
Of City of Monroe Mayor.
For a four-year term.
According to the law.
To the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And that I will faithfully and impartially perform.
And discharge the duties.
Of the office of City of Monroe Council at Large.
For a two-year term.
According to law.
To the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And that I will faithfully and impartially perform.
And discharge the duties.
Of the office of City of Monroe Council Position 1.
For a four-year term.
According to law.
To the best of my ability.
Do solemnly swear or affirm
that I will support the Constitution and laws
that I will support the Constitution and laws
of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws.
And the Constitution and laws.
Of the State of Washington.
Of the State of Washington.
And that I will faithfully and impartially perform.
And that I will faithfully and impartially perform.
And discharge the duties.
And discharge the duties.
Of the office of City of Monroe Council Position 2.
Of the office of the City of Monroe Council Position 2.
For a four-year term.
For a four-year term.
According to law.
According to law.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Congratulations. If you will please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Jeff Rasmussen.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution and laws.
That I will support the Constitution and laws.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws.
And the Constitution and laws.
Of the State of Washington.
Of the State of Washington.
And that I will faithfully and impartially perform.
And I will faithfully and impartially perform.
And discharge the duties.
And discharge the duties.
Of the office of City of Monroe Council Position 3.
The office of City of Monroe Council Position 3.
For a four-year term.
For a four-year term.
According to law.
According to law.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my abilities.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Judge Lyons. We will now take a recess until 7:15. That's about 7 minutes, so that the newly elected and re-elected officials can sign the paper and visit with a couple folks. So we'll come out of recess at 7:15. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting back to order from recess. The next item that we have on our agenda is the student representative report for our amendment from earlier tonight for the agenda.
So
welcome back.
I just wanted to first off congratulate all you guys.
Okay. Well, I wanted to congratulate all of you for on getting a chance to continue serving. So the high school, the entire school district really appreciates everything you do. So thank you. And so I didn't think that I have a lot to say because we've only been in school for 2 days, but then we realized that next week is a huge week up at the high school. We're putting on a week called Free the Children Week, mm-hmm. and it's a fundraiser for the charity that we've been helping all year, Free the Children, and part of it is we're gonna be having a teacher karaoke thing. And so basically there have been a couple teachers that have volunteered, and the students at lunches will be able to donate, and the teacher with the most donations will have to get up during pep assembly and sing a song. And then we're also doing a miracle minute at the basketball game Friday during second quarter, and we're hoping to raise a lot of money there because I guess it's the junior cheer night, so there's going to be a lot of parents in the crowd. And also next Friday is the Winter Pep Assembly, and it's going to be focusing on recognition and sports recognition, and also different students who have done some pretty outstanding things this year. And then after the game on Friday, we have Battle of the Bands, and that's just a huge, it's kind of a concert with all sorts of bands, student bands, teacher bands. And all the proceeds from that also go to Free the Children. And it's a really cool event, open to the community. And then also today was the first Haikyuu match of the season or of the school year. And Haikyuu is it's basically really smart kids answering really hard questions. And They competed at Monroe against Marysville Pilchuck and Jackson High School, and we took second place, which was pretty cool. And they're really excited for that because this year HiQ almost didn't exist, and we had a couple students on the team that were fighting really hard for it to continue, so they were really excited for that. And then my final piece of news was at the high school this every year we have a group of Australian exchange students come for a couple weeks, and they arrived on Saturday. And so if you see a bunch of Australians floating around town, that's what's happening. A lot of them are up at the basketball game right now, and they've been touring around Seattle, and they'll be going up to Stevens Pass later on this week and touring the high school. And that's all I have. Any questions?
Cool. Council, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, next up we have, and before I continue, I just want to note for the record that Councilmember Davis arrived during the oaths of office and is now present. Next item that we have is comments from citizen. Comments from citizens. This is time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issues related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Testimony is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Right now, we do not have anybody that has signed up. Is there anybody that would like to address the council? Anybody? Okay, I see nobody interested in coming up and speaking, so we will now move on to the consent agenda. I'm sorry, we're going to move on to council orientation. Thank you.
For those of you who've been on the council for a while, you recall I gave us a similar presentation to this a couple of years ago, and the administrator felt that it was probably beneficial in light of the new membership on the council and as a refresher to the remainder of you. So he's talked through a few of the legal pitfalls that sometimes, particularly new council members, might not be otherwise aware of. I'm going to touch on a few of the statutes or Washington laws that bear on your position as local elected officials. The good news is that there's no need to try to encyclopedically retain all of this down to the minutiae. That's really not the point. The objective is to hope that each of you knows just enough to kind of develop those feelers that will enable you to see an issue before it really becomes an issue. It's a classic issue spotting exercise, and hopefully if you do recognize that there might be a concern, you can address it by talking to the city administrator, the mayor, or myself before it ripens into something of greater concern to the city. The other thing that I'd like to just impress upon you is that most of what I'm going to tell you tonight is or should be intuitive, kind of in a deeper sense. I refer to a lot of this as falling underneath the heading of the kindergarten rule, meaning that it's information and its principles of existence that most of us probably picked up early in our childhood and along the lines of right and wrong, just knowing intuitively where that line is. And the bottom line is, if something doesn't smell right, it probably isn't right. And that's at the point at which you should probably consult city administration and find out whether or not there's a bigger concern that should be investigated. And with that, I'll just touch briefly on a few of the Washington laws that are potentially implicated by your position as council members. The first is the Open Public Meetings Act. This is codified at Chapter 4230 RCW, and it's one of the laws known in Washington as the Sunshine Acts. It basically is intended to ensure that the operations of government and at your level local government operate in the light of day and let the sun come in, meaning that the public should have a front row seat to most of what you do, particularly in your policy-making role as local legislators. For that reason, all of your meetings have to be, by law, open to the public. What you do here in this room, with few exceptions, has to be visible to other members of the community, which is why you publish an agenda, which is why your documents after your meeting are subject to public review, and your deliberations, comments, and your deliberative process is by and large open for public viewing. That's the thrust of the Open Public Meeting Act. As you know, you have a regular meeting schedule that's been established by your ordinance. You also can call a special meeting and deviate from that regular meeting schedule whenever the need arises. You can call a special meeting on 24 hours notice, although it's typically good practice to give more notice than that. And the thing to remember about special meetings is, and this is an important constraint, you can only take final action at a special meeting if the agenda items that you're going to be addressing have been listed on the special meeting notice. So for example, if you're going to amend your development code, you have to actually list that on your special meeting notice, or you can't take final action at the special meeting that you're addressing that. It's an important constraint. As the council knows, there are exceptions to the OPMA, one of the most important of which is your ability to call an executive session, either at a regular or a special meeting. There's a list of appropriate discussion items for executive sessions that allow you to conduct some business, primarily discussion, behind closed doors and outside of the vision and the earshot of the public. These are typically for matters that are considered very sensitive by the state legislature. If you want to get attorney-client advice on risk management issues where there's a possibility of litigation, where there's going to be a potential negative financial or legal consequence, that's appropriate for executive session. If you're going to discuss some personnel matters, like reviewing the performance of a public employee or reviewing the qualifications of a candidate that you might be appointing to an elected office, if you're going to discipline a public official, you can have that behind closed doors in executive session. As an exemption to the statute, you can also discuss your collective bargaining matters and develop negotiation strategy behind closed doors as well. But with very few exceptions, even when you talk behind closed doors in an executive session, when the council actually wants to take final action in the form of a vote, like a resolution or an ordinance or some formal directive to staff, that has to occur in open session. It's really important. The problem area in the OPMA, and the one that tends to trip up kind of or form a trap for the unwary, particularly with new officials, is the potential for you to form a quorum and essentially have a meeting inadvertently, like when not all of you happen to be physically present. And this is a situation where, through the use of emails, Twitter, Facebook, telephone trees, that sort of thing, a group of you are talking about public issues or otherwise conducting public business without actually providing a special meeting notice. And that's a really important red flag that I hope all of you kind of keep in mind as you use social media, as you're involved in email communications that may implicate more than a quorum of you. Always be aware in the back of your mind that this might be a meeting. We have to be careful not to discuss public business outside a public meeting so the public can have an opportunity to review us. It's an unfortunate trap for the unwary, like I said, and it's one of those unfortunate circumstances where the law really hasn't caught up yet with modern technology. The Open Public Meeting Act was enacted in the early 1970s. As all of you know, technology has advanced significantly since then, and it's very common for local elected officials in communicating with each other and with your constituents to use these modern technologies, and sometimes you do it inadvertently in a way that causes a meeting and potentially gets you in trouble with the OPMA. The second one of these sunshine laws that you should be aware of is the State Public Records Act. This is a statute that requires most but not all of public documents to be disclosed to members of the public who might request them on demand. There are several exceptions in the law. In fact, there are pages and pages of exceptions for things like attorney-client privilege communications, real estate appraisals, some personnel issues that are considered very sensitive. But by and large, the vast majority of public records are going to be considered subject to disclosure. And here again, there's a potential trap for the unwary, particularly in the context of modern social media, because a lot of, well, actually all of what you do in the way of public business, even if you're using your home computer or your smartphone or your Twitter account, if you're conducting public business and the resulting document is considered a public record, that's disclosable. And it creates some problems or at least some administrative concerns when the city receives a public record request for those communications, and the city has to hunt them down by asking you to turn over, you know, your home computer printouts and whatnot. For that reason, I think it's a good practice and certainly recommended from my end to route those sort of communications through the city's server so the city always has a record of them at City Hall. And just be aware that if you're creating any public writing, any writing that deals with your role as council member, that's potentially a public record. So please be aware of that. Third statutory provision that I'd like you to be aware of is the appearance of fairness doctrine. Council members who've been on in their current positions for a while will recall me leading you through a series of questions whenever you deal in a site-specific or quasi-judicial land use matter. That's because under Washington law, whenever you wear not your legislator hat, but your judge and jury hat, when you're sitting essentially as a judge over the rights and responsibilities of a particular property or a particular individual, as opposed to something that has a little bit more broad application, you're covered by this appearance of fairness doctrine, which means that you have to not only make a fair decision, and you need to be fair, but you also have to look fair. And the test is whether a disinterested, objective observer looking at you and what you've done could possibly consider that you may have been biased or swayed or somehow had approached your duties in an unfair way. And I like to analogize this, again, using the judge metaphor. If you had a court case and you were a litigant in a court case and it was very important to you, and you were litigating tooth and nail against your opponent, and then you happen to see out of the corner of your eye the judge in your case and the opponent in your case, your opposing party, sharing a laugh over a cup of coffee or walking down the hall together, arm in arm, you probably have some concerns about how impartial that judge can be. And for the same reason, whenever you deal with a quasi-judicial matter, you need to keep an appearance of fairness. You need to make it look, for all intents and purposes, that you are addressing your duties in a fair, unbiased, impartial manner. You're making your decision based on the record in front of you and not on factors that are outside of the record. And importantly, that you're not having what are called ex parte communications with other parties. Again, you don't want to be the judge walking down the hallway laughing with one of the litigants. And in the same way, you don't want to be having a grocery aisle conversation with a developer of a project that you're going to be sitting in judgment on. It just doesn't look right. So the recommendation for me always is, A, avoid those kind of communications if you can in the first instance. If some party of record in a pending quasi-judicial land use proceeding wants to engage you in a discussion about the merits of that proceeding, my advice is to simply disengage and say, I'm sorry, I can't talk about that right now. I'd be happy to speak with you after the council has made its decision. To the extent that you do have communications, and sometimes it's unavoidable, people send you emails, letters, etc., please be prepared to put those on the record at the commencement of the hearing, so those can be entered into the record formally and give other parties an opportunity to respond to the substance of what was communicated. But again, I think if you look at the appearance of fairness doctrine and kind of cut through all the legalism and big words, it really goes back to the kindergarten rule. This is just a basic issue of common sense and fairness, but it's important to keep that in mind, particularly when you're dealing with site-specific land use proposals and appeals. The next issue to talk about is the issue of ethics. The council is aware, obviously, that you recently repealed the vast majority of your locally adopted ethics code at Chapter 252 MMC. What you've done through that process is essentially revert in most respects to the state conflict of interest statute codified at Chapter 4223 RCW. There are a few provisions there that you should keep in mind. The main thrust of that statute is that it prohibits self-dealing by local officials, meaning that you should never be on the other end of a contract that is being negotiated and executed by the city. And if you sense that that's happening, if your employer is bidding for some work for the city, like if you work for a construction company, and that company is submitting a bid to build a new bridge for the city or pave a street, that should be a red flag immediately, and you should immediately contact Gene or the mayor or myself, and we can provide the necessary legal analysis. It can be, and there certainly are several provisions in the statute that provide exceptions or exemptions to the general prohibition, but it's important that you understand the lay of the legal landscape before anybody gets into hot water. It's important not only for you as individuals because of the negative consequence that can result if you personally violate the conflict of interest statute, which includes potential civil liability, a penalty, and that it could be grounds for forfeiture of office in a worst case scenario. A bigger concern to the city as a whole, any action taken in violation of the ethics code is potentially subject to being void, and that's obviously a negative consequence that we're all trying to prevent. Another requirement under the state ethics statute is the prohibition on using your influence as a council member to get a special privilege either for yourself or a family member or some other person. So in a nutshell, you shouldn't be leaning on members of staff to get a result on behalf of your friend who happens to be a developer. You shouldn't be coming in and telling the city's permit technicians that you really shouldn't have to get that permit for the deck that you're going to be building and kind of winking and nodding your way through the process. Those are real-life examples. Things like that do happen. My recommendation is just avoid the issue altogether and remember that as council members, your authority, the power that you are vested in, really only exists to the extent that you are voting in a four-member block. Individually, there are only a few instances where you may have greater authority, greater privileges than members of the general public. And I advise you, don't even have the appearance of leaning on staff, of trying to get some special privilege for yourself, for your family members, for friends, et cetera. It's not worth it, and it doesn't pass the smell test. The last point on the conflict of interest statute is the state prohibition on disclosure of confidential information. So for example, if we have an executive session and there are sensitive topics discussed behind closed doors, that should stay within the four walls of this room. You shouldn't be telling that to friends, family members, or other people. You certainly shouldn't be telling it to someone who's interested in the subject matter that's outside of City Hall. You shouldn't be divulging confidential attorney-client privilege information. Again, that kind of falls within the kindergarten rule and hopefully is intuitive in its own right, but I think it bears repeating. It is an important provision and it's etched very clearly in the state statute. The next topic just has to do very briefly with the respective roles of the council, the administration, and the staff. The strong mayor government follows a classic separation of powers model. You as the city council are vested with the legislative authority of the city. You have the exclusive power to make policy. The mayor's role is to implement the policy and through him and his staff and to enforce contracts, to manage the personnel aspects of the city, and then occasionally when the council does act in an administrative capacity through, for example, approving a final plat or approving a contract, you're wearing a slightly different hat, but your role is still distinct from the mayor. The mayor has very limited tie-breaking authority and veto authority with respect to some of the legislative matters that you take, but by and large, his role on the dais is simply to run the meeting. And with respect to your relationship with staff, it's entirely appropriate for you to make inquiry, but you shouldn't be directing staff members individually. You should be doing that through the mayor, either implicitly or expressly. Finally, just one brief comment concerning the state statute governing the use of public resources for campaign purposes. This is recently codified at RCW 4217A 555. It's, and hopefully this is obvious, but it is inappropriate for any elected official or any employee for that matter to use public resources in furtherance of anyone's political campaign or in furtherance of a ballot proposition. That includes parts of the building, it includes copy machines, it includes emails, it includes phone lines. There are several exceptions that I'm not going to go into the weeds there that the Public Disclosure Commission has come up with, but by and large, if you are ever feeling that you're about to do something that crosses that line and using some public property, some public resource for the purpose of furthering or opposing a ballot proposition or someone's political campaign, please stop, check yourself, and consult either with staff or with me. And then one just final brief comment concerning the role of the city attorney. I am the attorney, and my law firm is the attorney for the corporate entity of the city of Monroe. I am not the mayor's attorney, I'm not the administrator's attorney, and I'm not the council's attorney. I have different roles with respect to each of you based on your individual roles for the city, and that's determined by state law. But the bottom line is I can't play favorites, and I don't play favorites as amongst council members. I don't represent the mayor against the council or the council against the mayor, and except in very, very rare circumstances, I will not keep confidences as between you. If I tell something to Councilmember Hanford, that's the same thing I'm going to tell to Councilmember Rasmussen. If I tell something to the mayor, that's the same thing I'm going to tell to Councilmember Gamble. And that's a very important point just as it relates to your interaction with me and your expectations of me. I have to adhere to that model. It's part of my professional responsibility, and it's certainly nothing personal. But again, represent the corporate entity of the city, not any individual or not any group of individuals. And just to wrap this up, I am always available if any of you would like to ever talk to me about anything, if you perceive a concern. Again, the time to do that is early and often at the beginning of the concern rather than waiting until it blows up. I'll also just throw it out there because I think based on experience, I think it's cheaper and more efficient for the council to preliminarily vet those sort of concerns and issues with staff or calling Gene rather than calling me directly. But I'm always there for that purpose if you need or want to talk with me. And I'd be happy to speak or answer any questions that the council might have.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for clarifying that. Just a question for further clarification on the ethics. One of the frustrations we had was, I hope you don't mind me using Councilmember Gamble working at Comcast, Xfinity, and having to excuse himself for us to pay the city's bill to his employer. That's gone away with now, right, since we've...
I'd be happy to look at that and give you a more definitive answer, but my strong belief and assumption, working assumption, is that with the council's recent repeal of the local ethics code, that is no longer a concern because the contract in question was entered into before Councilmember Gamble came on the council, and certainly before he's voting on payment of a bill. That's not really a contract that's being voted on. You're not forming a contract there.
Sure.
You're simply paying an obligation that the city has already incurred. And that's a distinction that the state law implicitly made. It was much more ambiguously worded in the city's previous ethics code. And to answer your question, and again, I'll be happy to look into it more in depth and come back with a more definitive answer, but to answer your question now, I don't believe that there is a reason to recuse yourself just based on that, at least not under the state law.
That was my understanding. I just wanted to
I will
clarify.
Follow
Thank you.
Up with a more definitive answer.
Thank you.
Any other... Are there any other questions, or Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty definitive. The only reason why I'm asking is because there's bills in the, and so if you want me to wait until a definitive answer, or do you feel I
Council, again, I don't believe that there should be a concern under state law with that. However, now that you've asked the question, I would recommend out of an abundance of caution until the next meeting that you just step off.
And just for the record, I didn't even work for the company when it was entered into, just so.
I don't think there's a concern, but I would hate to lead you down the wrong path.
Right. So I will continue until I hear back. Perfect.
Council members, anything else? Okay, I see no other lights. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up we have the consent agenda. I see Councilmember Gehring. Before we begin, I need to...
You're going to do that first. Sorry, I was going to say that so that you could do it. So.
Oh, okay. Before we begin, I'm going to move consent agenda item number 8 to new business. I'll explain later. And so we'll put that down under new business as item number 4. Okay. Councilmember Gehring?
I think you're going to pull number 2.
I was going to pull number 2.
Yeah, so I will move to approve consent agenda 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Second.
Okay. I hear a first and I hear a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, motion passes. Let's come back to consent agenda item number 2.
Out of abundance of caution, I will excuse myself while you vote on the cable bill and other bills.
Jeez. Thank you.
Go ahead. I'll give them 2 seconds.
Okay. And I missed who came for. Oh, Mr. Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to bring council up to speed on a couple of items that were just approved under the consent agenda, specifically items 5, 6, and 7. There are contract issues, and the city attorney has reviewed those, and he could speak real briefly about what had changed on that after it was put in the council packet.
Point of order. I think Councilmember Gamble should be back in for those items.
Do we want to go ahead and do number 2 and then? Okay.
Let the record show that Councilmember Gamble, who had left the room, has returned to the room.
Thank you.
Okay. City Attorney.
Very briefly, Council. In consultation with staff, it was decided to remove a prior reference in the various on-call services agreements that purported to allow the city to extend the term of those contracts for additional, I believe, 2-year terms. The reason for that is a state auditor concern based on the statute in Washington governing architectural and engineering services. The auditor's position is that unless the services in question are specific to a particular project or task, that the contract should not exceed 1 year in duration. So we've revised the contracts to follow the auditor's mandate there, and that's a very minor change. It doesn't change any of the substance of the document, but the references to the renewal option have been eliminated in the version that was included more recently in the packet.
Councilmember Hanford, your light is on. Was that for consent agenda item number 2 or?
That's correct.
Okay. So do any council members have any questions about what our attorney has just shared with us? Okay. We'll now go back to consent agenda item number 2, and Councilmember Gamble, who's getting a lot of exercise tonight. We're timing you this time. We're going to see if you're faster. All right. Councilmember Gamble is now out of the room. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to approve consent agenda item number 2.
Second.
Okay. I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutaback for approving consent agenda item number 2. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Okay. Councilmember Gamble is now returning to the room. And we are now moving on to discussion assignment of Mayor Pro Tem. Do you have a presentation on this? Or is this just? Okay. I had Councilmember Gehring was first. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Nomination. I'd like to nominate Jim Camp for Mayor Pro Tem. Thank you. Not a seconding. Just give everybody a chance to add whoever they might want.
Okay.
If you're interested.
I'm honored. Thank you.
Councilmember Cuddeback?
Yes, I would like to nominate Councilmember Gamble for Mayor Pro Tem.
So we have Councilmember Camp, and we have Councilmember Gamble, who have been nominated. Are there any other nominations? Okay, I don't see any lights. Do I hear a discussion or a motion?
If I may, I was trying to remember how we did it last time.
Yeah, I was trying to, too.
I don't think we had two nominations. I don't think we have had four years that I've been on.
I think it was just Tom last time.
Yeah. There's always been one.
So,
there's always been one.
If I may.
Yeah.
I thought we kind of did, okay, let's do person number one, and then let's do person number two. It's kind of what we did when we appointed a new council member. It's kind of that same thing, maybe, where you just kind of openly say who you're going to vote for, maybe just.
Oh.
That was a roll call thing? I don't know. I'm just suggesting. Yeah. Maybe it's easier than saying.
Oh, me.
I don't know.
Okay. Does our attorney or administrator have any direction? Okay. So we have two nominations. I would propose that a motion be made. Okay, Councilmember Gehring, you want to make a motion?
That was really quick. Okay. I will move to assign the mayor pro tem position to Councilmember Campbell.
Okay.
We would need a second at this point, right? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Do I have a second? Okay, I have a first and a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion? Okay, no discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, all opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, can the nays put their hands up? So we have nays from Councilmember Cuddeback, Rasmussen, and Gamble. All right, and the motion passes. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, is it tradition for the mayor pro tem to be for a one-year term? And the reason I'm asking is, if so, then I would recommend we look at Councilmember Gamble for the next one.
Do it every year.
Every year? Perfect.
So I have a 2 years. So I have a correction from our city attorney, is that the position is a 2-year position.
Oh. State law provides for that vote to occur on a biennial basis.
We've been doing it on that.
You certainly
can
do
it on an annual basis.
It also says that you can do it on an as needed basis, biennially at the first meeting or periodically after that you can make the vote. So if that's in your local preference, you can do it on a year-to-year basis, but the statute requires at least a biennial vote.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have Councilmember Gehring has pressed his button.
Thank you, and if I may suggest that we might want to update council rules of procedure, perhaps with that, since if we want to do it differently, if we want to do it every year, then maybe we should add that to our council rules of procedure. Perhaps you could bring that back to us with that, and then we could just kind of make it official that here in Monroe we do it every year. Yeah, if the rest of the council sees fit for that.
So. Fine.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask a question?
Yeah, please do.
I was just going to say, we might just follow state law, and then if we choose to do it annually, what state law is saying, we don't have to do it annually, but we can choose to. So are you suggesting that we put it in our rules to require we do it annually, or what
council policy to do it annually? To us, that's as needed. So
yeah,
we're deciding it's as needed every year. Is what I would be suggesting. We would put that in one of the appropriate sections of the council
yeah.
policy.
Okay.
Or I mean, your suggestion.
Well, no, I was just trying to clarify to make, because if the state law says do it, you must do it every 2 years minimum,
okay,
and we do it annually. Are you requiring that we do it annually, or can we just continue what we've been doing, which is
as needed
but at least every 2 years? Does that make sense?
And we don't need anything in that particular sense. I just thought it might be nice to have that documented somewhere that we've made it, we do that. Maybe worded in a way that's not binding, using the word requiring. It's council policy to do this every year, but it's not required. Maybe yeah, something. I don't. You know, it, depending on how everybody else feels, it's not that big a deal, then we can just leave it as is.
No, I mean, I'm
good. Okay, fine. All right, yeah.
Okay, so
then I'll rescind my request then. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to understand that pursuant to state law, that the appointment of Councilmember Camp to Mayor Pro Tem is a 2-year term consistent with state law. Okay, And of course, council, should you decide to change it as needed, whether it's tomorrow or 18 months from now, that you have the authority to do that. So, okay. Anything else on that topic? Okay, we're going to now move on to new business item number 2, which is the Snohomish Health District Representative. Gene?
Thank you, Mayor.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry, yes?
One moment.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm done.
Oh. Very good. I missed that.
I didn't know we were going to have a parliamentary discussion. I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Item number 2, Snohomish Health District Representative.
Thank you, Mayor. We talked about this briefly at the end of last year, that we have the option of putting forward a representative to serve on the Snohomish County Health District Board, as you will. In the past, I believe it was the mayor from Snohomish, City of Snohomish, that served in that capacity. I know that there may be some interested individuals on our council, and if that is the case, we just need to put it in a letter form and submit that, and we need to do that prior to next week, so we'll need to make that decision this evening.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes, I have voiced an interest in doing that last year, and other things happened, so again, just repeat that interest for this year, if that would be okay.
Okay.
Essentially, what we'll do now is draft a letter up that will be signed by the mayor, asking that you be considered for that position. We'll get that out in the next day or so.
Sounds good. Okay. Thank you. All right. Any other discussion on that topic? The next item that we have is Agenda Bill 14007, which is Community Transit City Representative to Attend Board of Directors Selection Meeting. Gene.
Again, this is something that we do annually, and it's up to the council's pleasure who they want to appoint to serve on that board.
And this is the selection meeting, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you would be going to be part of the group to select out of that group who would be on the board?
That's absolutely right.
Okay. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Just for clarification, past Councilmember Steima served on it, but he was an alternate. So, again, are you asking someone to just go and attend the meeting to select the directors, but not necessarily serve on the board?
That's my understanding how it operates.
Okay.
Yes.
And then is that person considered an alternate at times if they need next? No. Just go. Okay.
When I was on the board some time ago, the way that it worked is you went there and they selected from the people that were there who would be on the board,
okay.
And then they selected who would be the alternates, and
okay.
Not everybody that attended the selection meeting
okay.
would actually find themselves in a position.
So the possibility is, though, attending this, you might be selected to be on the board.
Well, yes. Yeah. Yes, or you would be there to actually be part of sort of a delegation to select somebody to be on the board, yes.
When are those meetings? Do you have detail of when the meetings are and how often?
Yeah, I believe they're in the mornings. I don't.
Thursday? Yours used to be.
That's a brutal time.
The health district.
We're taking a look in the letter. Yeah, I think they're Thursdays in the afternoon. Does that sound about right?
There's been so many boards running through my head.
And do you know when this meeting is, the selection meeting?
It is at 5 o'clock.
When?
Thursday at 5 o'clock. Their next board meeting is on January 16th.
Okay. Councilmember...
Do I still have the floor? I'd be willing to attend the selection
great.
Meeting
yeah.
next Thursday.
Okay. Everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We don't need a formal motion for that. So Councilmember Cuddeback will attend that selection meeting.
I can right. just get details where it is and that kind of thing.
Okay. And Gene Brazel will give that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So with that said, we are now at what was consent agenda item number 8. This is AB 14006. It's authorizing the mayor to sign an interlocal agreement between Snohomish County and the City of Monroe for misdemeanor warrant date entry and verification services. So I've requested that the consent agenda item number 8, a proposed interlocal agreement with Snohomish County, be pulled from the agenda and voted on separately without my participation. I would ask that the city clerk note my recusal in the official minutes for the meeting. The reason for my recusal is that I'm employed by the contracting party, and which is Snohomish County. My position with the county is that of an employee, and my compensation consists entirely of fixed salary. There is no contingent component of my compensation package. Pursuant to RCW 4223040 and based upon my consultation with the city attorney, I accordingly have at most a remote interest in the agreement and am removing myself from participation in this matter. Thanks for writing that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I could make one minor recommendation in addition to that, Council. As part of your approval motion for this document, I would recommend that the Council authorize the Deputy Mayor or the City Administrator to sign the agreement rather than the Mayor.
Sure.
Very well. I am open to a motion. I'm sorry?
You can't see my light.
Oh. Tell you what, just wave your hand or something.
Me? Great, thank you. I authorize the Mayor Pro Tem to sign an interlocal agreement between Snohomish County and the City of Monroe for misdemeanor warrant data entry and verification services.
Second.
Hey, we have a motion from Councilmember Gehring and a second by Councilmember Cuddeback to authorize the Mayor Pro Tem to sign an interlocal agreement between Snohomish County and the City of Monroe for misdemeanor warrant data entry and verification services. Any discussion? And since I can't see your red light, please raise your hand. No discussion. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It passes 7-0. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Real question was I faster getting out of here than Councilmember Gamble?
Much slower. I've seen you walk. That was pretty fast.
Talking to me or him. Oh, thanks.
See you.
Okay, so we've taken care of new business. We are now on to Councilmember reports. Councilmember Hanford.
Well, first I had a question on, if we could back up, on my recommended action for the representative for the City of Monroe Community Transit Board selection meeting, it says to a motion should be made. Is that, and we didn't do that. Was that just a...
You can do it by council consensus, but you can also do it by motion as well.
I just wanted to make sure. Yes. Council member reports. Couple things. First of all, proud to announce that the 11-year-old daughter, foster daughter that was with my family tonight, we just got word today that we're going to be able to adopt her. So, very excited for that. Second thing is, just starting off the year with the council, I'm very excited to work with all of you and continue working, and have been very pleased with the city, how everything's been run the last 2 years that I've been here. Very pleased with the council, how we've worked through issues and fun times and hard times, and I feel like we are poised to continue. But I was very disappointed and frustrated to receive the email on Friday that our economic development director was let go. And I've talked to the mayor one-on-one and talked through those frustrations, so this is nothing new to him, but it needs to be known before the staff and the city and the rest of council that I personally was very disappointed that the mayor couldn't have waited 3 more business days to talk to council, to get our advice, to run the idea past us. Whether it was the right move or the wrong move, in my mind, that's the kind of decision, especially when you're coming off into a new position where you have been publicly elected and ran under the open policy, open and keeping everything open to the public. It seems like that would be the kind of thing where you would talk to your council before you just make a move like that on your second day in office. And so I was very disappointed. I don't understand why you would cut off someone who is feeding the pipeline, and understanding that the planning department may be busy, may be overloaded, may need help, whatever, however that looks, doesn't make sense to me that you cut off what's feeding that, and again, without talking it through with the rest of us. You know, I understand that we're coming into a new year, and I understand that the mayor's trying to get a grasp on everything as he spent several days in the office there, and trying to get a grasp on the city and the staff and everything, and get a good handle on. I totally understand that. I just don't understand making such a drastic move without council, at least running it by council, explaining things to council, getting our input. So that said, I'm very excited for the future. Very disappointed that we started out the gate that way. So that's it.
Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. I want to welcome new Councilmember Rasmussen. Very excited to have you on board. Also welcome the new mayor. Very pleased and excited for the new year, and I'm looking forward to 4 more years. So I think there's a lot that we can do and accomplish, and just like to respond a little bit to your comments. I appreciate the mayor coming in and having a vision and putting that vision into play when he comes into office. Also, I've served on the council for the last 4 years, and there's been a few times and times before that where when a mayor, that position is dealing with staffing issues, does not consult council, does not get our approval, does not need to get our approval in making those decisions. It's happened in the past in a couple instances that I can think about, and one with our previous mayor. So while, you know, I understand your frustration, I listen to you and I hear your comments, I think that, you know, it's the mayor's prerogative, as this was mentioned in council a month ago, appointing a planning commissioner. And I think, you know, we should welcome the new direction and go forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Cuddeback. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Just quickly, I'd like to say hi and thank you, everyone. We've got, or many of us have, 4 years, and I'm looking forward to all of them. So I appreciate it, and here's to looking many more. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you, Mayor. First, welcome, Mr. Rasmussen. We've been in contact through various issues over the last few years. It's great to see you on board. And it's great to have you sitting next to me, so it'll be fun. I have to echo the comments from Councilmember Hanford. I agree that there handling of recent situation could have been done better, but I'm not going to belabor the point. It is the mayor's, as pointed out last month, with the Planning Commission appointment, it is the mayor's prerogative. While I respect and understand that, I don't necessarily approve the pattern, but be that as it may. And finally, I had an opportunity to meet with former student representative Brandon Hirano over the Christmas break, and he is doing quite well. Well, he's doing pretty good down in college. It's university's someplace
in
San Diego, I think. He sends his best and hopes everybody is doing well, and he's already looking into some sort of business proposition that I wouldn't be surprised if he's the next Facebook guy. So he sends us well, and if you see his name, I'd probably invest in whatever he's doing. He's doing a great job. Thank you.
Wasn't wearing a cow suit?
He was not wearing a cow suit this time.
Thank you, Councilmember Camp. Councilmember Davis.
Yes. Welcome, Councilmember Rasmussen. It's good to see you here. I'm going to get forward to working with you. And But I also have a few things to say, and I don't trust myself to just speaking off the cuff, so I wrote them down. So bear with me for a second. It won't take long. It shouldn't be too painful. I have to echo your sentiment. And pretty much this is my thought on that. No employee should fear losing their job for any reason but cause. When you do your job and you do it well, the last thing you should expect is to be summarily dismissed when you show up for work. And what emergency requires such action? What natural disaster is upon us? None. In fact, the opposite is true. The city has paid off a major portion of its debt and hopefully will pay off the rest in short order. The economy is slowly coming back, and so are businesses. So what do we do for the one person who we could single out for having the most impact in making that a reality? We, quote unquote, lay him off. That doesn't make rational sense to me. What are the consequences of this counterintuitive action? Loss of trust, suspicion, and for some, fear. So this is where we are now. I wish it weren't so, but there it is. We on council are going to have to work hard to overcome it, I believe. I wish us luck in that endeavor. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Davis. Councilmember Gamble.
Well, Happy New Year. Welcome, Jeff. Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
And reelected, Patsy, Kevin. It's always a fun night.
Always a fun night.
Yes. It is, remembering, you know, oath of office, all that, pictures and stuff. So I, too, am excited for the new year. I think we've got a ton of stuff ahead of us. You know, what's good about this council is, I think Councilmember Hanford brought it up, is that we have been through quite a few issues over the last 2 years, whether it be policy or personal and or otherwise, and we've always found a way to manage our way through them, you know, one way or another. And to be here today and this smiling. So I, you know, doesn't really matter what I think about the issue. I'm going to choose to focus on the future, and I'm excited about it. And I think there's so many good things that we have to look forward to. And plus, baseball's right around the corner. So.
College football. Did you say lacrosse?
Throw that in. Yeah. No.
Say lacrosse is right around the corner.
At least you guys are sitting next to each other, two lacrosse guys.
Okay, anything else, Councilmember?
No, I'm good.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Gamble. Councilmember
Goring. Thank you. Welcome, Jeff. Councilmember Rasmussen, sorry. Good to have you here, and congratulations to everybody else, including myself, for being here. Looking forward to what we have ahead, and congratulations to the mayor. A well-run campaign. I'm going to echo some of Councilmember Hanford's comments. I'm very disappointed with the email on Friday. It certainly is your prerogative. I just find it hard to believe after 2 days a major restructuring would take place, that much thought could have gone into it. And again, we already met and already shared this with you, so it's not a surprise. I think there will be consequences from this that are going to, I think we'll see shortly. I think it's, we certainly have a, we have some stuff on the plate in planning that we're going to have to get through. But once we've cleared that plate, I worry about, it was the hand that fed the things that we had going on. So secondly, I'd like to thank former economic director manager Jeff Sachs for his time here. I thought he did an outstanding job. The results of the work that he did are literally in the bank. We are so much better off just business-wise, the business culture in this town because of his time here. Unfortunate. Again, it is your prerogative. I don't think that was, it was a forward-thinking move. It seems short-sighted and it seems political, whether it was or not, the appearance of that. And so that to me is a bummer, but regardless of that, we have business to do. We have a lot of great things that we can still accomplish together, and I certainly look for the rebuilding of trust and that we can not have an us versus them, as we expressed the other night while we were talking. And I look forward to that, and will do certainly my part to, in that, to make sure that this has been a very cohesive group, really enjoy everybody, and I certainly hope it stays that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Garen. We're now going to move on to department reports, and so Mr. Gardner.
Well, we're pretty busy in design construction. We're working with a consultant to get the North Kelsey Chain Lake Road roundabout up and going and out to bid by mid-April. A lot of work to do on that before that part. Scott Peterson designing Lot 8. We should be able to get that out to bid also by mid-April. Lakeley Street project is under design right now. Got a list of sidewalk design almost completed. It should be able to go out to add next month. Chain Lake Road pedestrian path, we're working with the right-of-way consultant so we can get our funding approved from the state. The Fremont Street project is almost completed. They started planting trees this week. The fence installer is supposed to be out this week also. That will lead primarily to striping to be done. It probably won't occur until next spring because of the weather. They need dry weather and 45 degrees and rising. The TIB overlays, we're starting communications with Snohomish County so that they will include the overlays in their overlay projects for next year. It gives us an economy of scale and a cheaper price to get them done. And the Lewis Street combined sewer separation project, we'll start design on that this spring after we get a lot of other stuff cleared off our plate. Everybody's working hard and doing a good job.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Gardner? Okay, I see none. Thank you very much. Mr. Worthen? Thank you. Anybody, any questions? Okay. Mr. Farrell?
No reports tonight. Happy New Year. Look forward to the new year and lots of fun stuff to share at the Parks and Rec.
Mr. Popelka?
A quick report. I think you know we've been extremely busy the last several months, and after a break for the holidays, I've come back and it's still very busy. But right now we have, about somewhere around 300 lots in the pipeline for subdivisions, all the way from a number of lots that are actually built on to the early in the development stages, and another two or three subdivisions that are coming our way, new subdivisions in the very early stages. Also, continuing work with a couple of Housing Hope projects that together, either side of Main Street, if you recall, about 60 units total. Housing Hope has been a tremendous player in the last couple of years. And a couple of code amendments. We're tweaking the sign code that's going to be coming to you in the next couple of months sometime for final adoption of final sign code regulations. And next week, we have a public hearing on marijuana moratorium, and some discussion about regulations going on from that point. Lots of other smaller things. But by the way, we're working hard and we're catching up.
Thank you. See, Chief Quinzer.
First of all, I'd like to say congratulations to those who have been reelected and the new council person. I will make sure you're not already receiving, but I'll make sure to get our the police department's daily log like the other council members did. And as far as the police department, the newest information we have three officer recruits that are sitting around and waiting for a class that they get into a class, the race class, we can get it into it starts in March. It seems like everybody's hiring, and there's far more recruits to be police officers in this state than the legislature ever anticipated. So,
any questions? Yes, Councilmember Cuddeback.
Chief, when's the Jamie Bindle run? It's coming up. When is the date?
This month, I don't know the exact date.
Okay.
28, something like that.
29? Okay. Thank you.
Anything else for Chief Windsor? Okay. Mrs. Nelson.
The city of Monroe has 400 new water customers with the absorption of the Sky Meadow Water Association.
Okay, Councilmember Gehring has a question.
Great, thanks. Diane, just a couple questions. Awkwardly, based on what we just talked about. Well, when a budgeted position, there's no longer a person in that position. There's budget that won't be used. What are council's options in, do you need a budget amendment to decide for that to go somewhere else as long as it's in the general fund? Can council?
Just like any line item, you are not allowed to spend over it, but you can certainly spend under.
So up to whatever it is that won't be expended or hasn't been expended.
Yeah, just whatever doesn't get expended goes into the fund balance.
And for any position say that's not filled, if you wanted to defund something, move it into something else. Is that that's not like a count? That's not like a budget ordinance.
No,
or that's just a it's just a council action.
Moving the money from one fund to another fund.
Okay.
But line items within a fund can be done administratively.
Like within a general fund or within a.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would require a budget ordinance.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate that. I'll have some. I do have a couple other comments. There is, I believe we do have a budgeted position for an additional planner. I would respectfully ask that we not go out and hire for that yet, given the nature of the restructuring that's going on. I think it would be nice if council would have an opportunity to have more of a conversation about what some of the plans are. And have a chance to weigh in on what those might be with regard to the restructuring of that department. While it is, there are options we could take, and I don't want to take those without having a conversation, because I think that doesn't help with, us versus them in good relations. So before that position is hired, I think it would be nice, without formally having a hiring freeze, to say, let's have a hiring freeze until we can have a conversation, and maybe something for the next next week. I think this week does look a little bit light, but I think it's important to get on the same page quickly before we start hiring people, which may or may not be what the will of the council is moving forward for those particular departments. So I appreciate your consideration of that. Thank you.
Yeah, so what we'll be doing on that is we're meeting tomorrow to talk a little bit about the associate planner and the assistant planner position. We will be coming back to council to share what the thoughts are relative to that. And so whether it's next week or the week after, we will be back before you to let you know what's going on. Okay, any other, I guess usually then we would go with our city attorney.
I have nothing to add, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you. You pushed your light. It means you have something to add.
Force of habit, pardon.
Okay. So one thing that we've added to the agenda, I received an email and it was something that Mr. Brazel and I had talked about, which is adding a projects update. You know, I'm also would like to get more detail about the projects of, you know, the different things that we've been working on here in town. And so you'll see on the extended agenda that we're going to bring in an update of projects. The one thing that I would like is feedback from you on what projects you'd like to see listed. We don't necessarily need to get that tonight, but if you'd be so kind as to email that, you know, those things you'd like updates on to Gene, and it's not a drop dead thing. If you know, if you don't get to us by Thursday this week, it's not like I won't add it, you know, the following week. So if you could, though, if you could get a list to us by maybe by close of business tomorrow, that'll allow us to start putting something together for next week, and then we'll make that either an every other week or a weekly update. And so does anybody have any questions or concerns about that? And Councilmember Camp?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do we have a list of the projects? You, if I understand correctly, you wanted us to give you a list of projects we were interested in and wanted updates on that. Do we have a list of the projects so that we can go through and see which ones we would be interested in?
Yeah, you know what we can do is I will talk to our planning department, and actually I'll ask Mr. Brazel to work with Mr. Popelka. Mr. Popelka, to come up with a list of sort of the higher-end projects and then maybe a summary of the lower-end projects, the lower-end projects being things like deck permits just sort of rolled up, if that's the level of detail that you're interested in, or we can just focus on the subdivisions and the commercial, that kind of stuff. But unless you like a list of the smaller projects also, I mean, we can, I can see what their software allows for. But typically the way that I've seen that done is you'll get a list of each short plat, each subdivision, each commercial use, and then sort of a roll-up of whatever's left. And then the other thing that I understood before you answer is that Councilmember Gehring had expressed an interest in getting an update on, like, other events also, like land sales and things like that. And that's, those aren't per se, you know, planning application projects, but, you know, if you'd like updates on those, we can add those to the list too. So projects was sort of an overarching.
Right.
Yeah. Which is why I was so open-ended on having you email stuff to us, because then we can go through and say, you know, this is similar to this. Let's see if you'd like that, too. So we can put together a list, and
I think that'd be useful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Thanks.
Same thing with the land sales, then. Is that?
Yes, please. If there's something to update,
yep.
I'd like to get it.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
Very good. Okay, anything else on that topic before I give it over to our city administrator? Okay, Mr. Brazel.
Okay, thank you very much. On the administrative side of things.
We forgot Jane. Sorry, he put your box in a different area. Mrs. Lanford, could you come up to the microphone, please?
Council and Community Mayor, Jane Lanford, I guess I'm going to give you the current report on, so if there hasn't been a bit, you need me to.
I think I'd like you to come up, but I don't need you to give me your address.
My official name now.
Your official name would be great, yeah.
Jane Lanford, address 1420 Fifth Avenue, Suite 2200, Seattle, Washington, 98101. Congratulations to the new council members. Congratulations to the council members I already know for your new four-year terms. And congratulations to Mayor Thomas.
Thank you.
Happy to be here this evening. I think generally Gene wanted me to come up and give you an update as to where things are on some of the real estate items that Mr. Sachs and I would have been working on together. I can just generally give you an update, and then if you've got specific questions, I can answer them, or if you want to start with specific questions, it's probably better, I think, to give the general. And I don't think anything will be confidential because they've all been brought into open session for signature, right?
I'm going to, our attorney.
To the extent that there are still issues concerning price or consideration that have not yet been consummated through
a deal.
I
don't think that there is, right? Because Miravest discount, those are all, I think, out of executive. So I guess we'll start with Discount Tire, which is now in escrow. Escrow has been opened. I believe that they have deposited their escrow money, but I don't have confirmation, so I will get that confirmation and get that to Gene. But escrow is open. We have escrow numbers, so their clock is ticking. And I am managing that process with escrow. Miravest, which was the letter of intent that we discussed, has been signed by Mayor Zimmerman. Zach, you have that now, I believe, under review with the idea that it will be reduced to the city's form of purchase and sale agreement to go back to Miravest, but that would have been on the parcel 6 and 7, formerly the ones, so those are the ones directly in front of Lowe's, kind of down below Tierney, I call it in the elbow. They have a two-use development plan. I don't want to share the uses, although I know what they are out of respect to them because they may not want that to be public information. And then there is a tentative meeting. Well, it's not tentative, but there's a meeting set for the 16th with Mike Radstoff of Miravest, his broker Tim Weber, to come in and sit with staff to go over questions related to infiltration vaults and those kinds of things, kind of before we got to the nuts and guts of the purchase and sale agreement. So there could be some dovetailing, hopefully, versus them getting kind of confused about it after the fact. We should have an offer coming in on parcel 9. That's the, and of course for the council members that aren't familiar with numbers, there's a little piece we kind of used to refer to as the orphan piece across from where the Providence is, right as it bends around and straightens up before Tierney goes up the hill to meet Chain Lake. We thought we couldn't build on it. We, after conversation with staff, determined that you could. A person that I've known for 25 years has family that has a business in town. He is a developer investor. He has already expressed interest in giving us an offer. It would be professional services and dental clinic. And he would build about a 3,500, 4,000 square foot building on that. And then I have some conversation going on. I don't like to refer to it as the landfill. I think it gives it a negative connotation. So we'll refer to it as Tract 999. but I'm, you know, it's a good thing the numbers aren't upside down. We refer to it as the landfill because that would be better. So we have an interested party in that. You will not be surprised to know who it is. That has been ongoing conversation as we wait to kind of get the more information on track 999. I have received, I'm going to call it a bare bones letter of intent, for another 3 acres. The reason you haven't seen it, the reason there hasn't been conversation about it, is that it is bare bones. It's actually a client that I've worked with for 25 years. I have 2 retailers that have expressed interest, but to be able to come out of the ground with them, I needed a developer. They've made us an offer. It was very low ball. He knew it. He just, you know, here you go. I'm like, yeah, okay, well, we'll get through that. So he and I are in conversation again tomorrow since it's after the holidays now. So that, I think, for now is it. I was waiting for some information on the timeline for the roundabout at Chain Lake and Kelsey so that our other little kind of interesting piece, I call it the teardrop up above Walmart, could hopefully get some attention. It's going to be an interesting piece. It's got an odd shape. There's not a lot of it that will be usable. If you're familiar, up at the top of the bluff above Walmart, kind of where that path goes in, and where the Washington State Department of Right-of-Way comes in at the top, we've got a kind of a teardrop-shaped piece of property. So we're going to hope that when all is said and done, there's enough to sell, and we can perhaps put some revenue in the bank from that. So that is the general. So then I guess it's both, to be honest with you. So, questions?
I don't see any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
Mr. Brazel, sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Thank you. Happy New Year to everybody. And I just wanted to let council know that since last Friday, either Jane or myself have contacted all the parties that we've been doing business with. I've also had a sit-down meeting with the purchaser of the 5-acre piece off of Chain Lake, because Jane is not involved in that one. And just to let council know where that is at, we do have a signed purchase sale agreement on that, and we're in the 60-day feasibility study. Once that period is over, around the second week in February, I will be contacting the buyer again, making sure everything is still moving forward. Once the feasibility is done, the monies will be placed in escrow until closing, and the closing date isn't due till December of 2014 unless permits and things are worked out. So at any rate, once we get past feasibility, it's basically sitting there until around December of this year. So that's where we're at on that. Again, I just want to let council know that I've got a firm grasp of the situation, and I know that you guys are confident in my abilities, and I appreciate Jane's help as well. So anyway, to that end, we are busy in planning department. Some good news, we got a couple three applications out the door today and received a couple three more in the door. So the business continues to roll in by the hour, it seems like. But we're working as fast as possible and making things happen. So other than that, I'm ready to talk about the draft agenda. Draft agenda for Tuesday, January 14th, 2014. Under announcements and presentations, we have the promotion of police sergeant. Under public hearing, the marijuana land use business license application moratorium. We have the consent agenda. Under new business, we have discussed joint ball field application grant with the school district, and council probably recalls this is something that we signed on, I believe, last year, and they received the grant, and we're looking to continue that, and that's for softball field up at the high school. And then under staff reports, we have the Public Works Department, Finance Department, and project updates, and the draft agenda for January 28th, 2014.
And now we'll go through the extended agenda, which are the upcoming meetings after that.
Thank you. The one thing I do want to draw attention to the council on is we included the joint meeting with the school district, the school board, on January 27th, 2014. They have provided a draft agenda. Pardon me?
At their office.
It again is not a mandatory meeting. However, they did invite us, and in the spirit of cooperation, it would be great if we could get as many council members to attend as possible. It'll be kind of an open forum, but we have set a draft agenda, and I will get copies of that to all the council members and mayor for your review. But it's pretty exciting. We've got a lot of things that we plan or have planned for the future, and I think it's a great start to meet together and start working cooperatively. So anyway, that is on the 27th, and that will be advertised as a public meeting, obviously. And any questions?
Yes, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. Gene, for the 21st, if council would allow, now that we the focus on economic development falls on others, it's something that we're still interested in, I'd love to have a policy discussion amongst ourselves with regard to direction that we'd like to go, what we'd like to emphasize, things we'd like to continue, things we'd like still like to see. In the past, we had looked at the possibility of EB5, things like that. Mm-hmm. There may be ways to, not necessarily the people that were here, but the concept and then the federal program of EB5 and attracting private money into our town to do the things like downtown, to do things, the airport, the things that we'd like to see that are going to continue to drive economic development in our town. So love to do that sooner than later, maybe in a couple weeks, at least start the discussion amongst ourselves. But what are our priorities in that? I think it's important that we talk about it, get on the same page, and then start making strategies towards, you know, how can we invite, how can we attract more private money, some public-private partnerships to get some of these things that we've wanted to do for a long time going. Or new things like the airport. I thought the airport idea was fantastic. So if someone else is interested, I'd love to at least start that conversation perhaps on the 21st.
Yes.
If anybody else is interested, then I'd love to add a council policy on economic development. And thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, please.
Well, I was just going to ask a question. it'd be great to have that discussion and also include maybe the mayor's vision or what you're looking at. And you said next week or the next couple weeks you'd be bringing back kind of planning department. And I think it's nice to work collaboratively and talk about our goals and vision, but also here. So we're working jointly to go forward. And if the administration is thinking one way and we're thinking one way, it'd be nice to have both on the table at the same time so we can kind of flesh out, you know, the direction for our city.
My thought is let's have something first so that then we can then compare and contrast and then come together. So we're the legislative body. We may come up with something, we may not. And then let's do that. I think that's a great point. I'd rather have something first so that we, just like per your example, anyway, my preference. But I do appreciate you being willing to do it on the 21st. Thank you.
Okay, we'll put that on for the 21st. Anything else for the 21st or subsequent meetings? Seeing none, go ahead.
Oops, I did have one question.
Oh, Councilmember Cutterback. Sorry, I didn't
see
that.
Thank you, Mayor. It looks like on the 21st we're talking about committees and appointments to that. So are we meeting next week? Is transportation... So are we staying as committees now? Are we just not meeting until we appoint on the 21st?
I don't believe we have any topics to meet on
okay.
at this time.
So nothing's going on and we'll just decide that
correct.
On the 21st. Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead. All right. So there being no other business, I do congratulate everybody that's been reelected. And everybody that is newly elected, which I guess would just be you. You're everybody.
The new guy.
I look forward to working with all of you for the next 2 or 4 years. And I think that's all for this evening. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Yeah, I have a first and a second.
Councilmember Rasmussen, speak up louder.
Okay, any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Okay, that being said, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion carries. We are adjourned.
He tried to get in right.
To that issue this week about
you'll find yourself throwing yourself at the microphone.
I'm stunned.